From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We actually kind of going by very, very slowly. A lot of coverage up at rebelgrove.com. Full practice yesterday. Mr. McCready with some observations, some videos, and more up on the site. Again, rebelgrove.com. Check it out. Subscribe. We'd love you for it. Appreciate it. So we'll talk a little about that today, some other stuff. Ask for some questions on the message board, so maybe we'll get some of those as well as I scan through as the podcast goes along as well. Neil's staring at his phone like he wants to tell me something.
Well, Chase, we often tell people what a deal that Rivals.com is and RebelGrove.com is. We tell people all the time. We'll put this up on the message board. I'll tweet it out as well. But I'll tell you, since you're listening, for those of you who don't subscribe to the site, here's a little more incentive to subscribe to the site. Incentive, if you're using, let me use the proper words. I always like to kind of keep it sort of real. If you're stealing from us and you're using somebody else's password, here's an incentive for you to get your own. The Get Gear back. Get Gear promo is back. Get Gear 99 promo returns. If you get an annual subscription, this is for new and returning annual subscribers, you get $99 in gear from the Rivals Team Shop. Ole Miss gear. You get a Wild Hare and you want some Washington Nationals gear, you can do that too. Whatever you want. But you can get $99 in gear in addition to your annual subscription. And if you get an annual subscription to Rivals, I had people had a little fun with the tweet yesterday, and someone said, well, you know, technically lunch at Cookout is cheaper than that. Okay. If you get an annual subscription, it's $8.64 a month. Now, maybe you can get lunch at Cookout for $8.64. I don't know. I've never been. You can't get it for much cheaper than that, I wouldn't guess. You can't get it for that at many places. The places that I like to go to lunch, I've never been able to get in and out for $8.64. So just out loud, think about it. We'll send you the info. It's but it's the Get Gear 99 promo. It's you just subscribe, and on promo code you get you enter Get Gear GETGEAR99.
It's also ability for monthly subs to upgrade to annual and get the same deal as well.
Yes. Which, in other words, you would save money
and
get $99 worth of presumably Ole Miss gear. But like I said, maybe you want that Atlanta Braves sweatshirt you've been eyeing. We've got some of that stuff too.
I will say that if you go to the Oxford Exxon, you can get the lunch special, two sides bread and a 32-ounce drink for $4.99. So almost two of those lunches for the price of a Rival subscription. But
that's true. If there is a better deal in town than a Rivals.com, RebelGrove.com subscription.
It's the lunch special at the Oxford Exxon.
It is. It is the lunch special at the Oxford. I can't beat that one.
We don't want to beat that one.
No, I don't want to beat that one. If it were up to me, I'd be the one raising prices, not lowering them.
Yeah, I think everybody's scared to be the first to dip that toe in the water. The prices have been the same since like 2002. I mean, milk has quadrupled in price in that time frame, but we just keep giving away the coverage for the same price.
It's the Rivals.com model, and God bless them. I've re-upped. I'm with you, but I don't get it.
Yeah, so SpeedPass
Plus. Inflation affects everything but us.
Yeah, SpeedPass Plus also there at the Oxford Exxon. Download it, use it, save money. Be more convenient as well when you fill up there at the pump. Don't have to go inside. And you save money, avoid credit card skimmers and the like. There at the Oxford Exxon, Pimento Cheese Bites next door at the Oxford Crystal. So we get a lot done in a short location there. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for my friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. There's no hassle. It's easy. You get your quote. You know the rest. It's up to you. It's the best quote you're going to get. If you're smart and you value your time, you'll go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for me and so many others, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Get a great Ford product. Great service after the sale, delivery options, all that stuff. There at Clark Ford and Amory, 662-257-1900.
One day away from our first live show at Funky's. Not our first live show. We've done several of those in multiple places, but first one at Funky's tomorrow night. Around 5:30, we will get started and go for about an hour. Todd Wade in attendance to join us. I'm somewhat optimistic we're going to have an ability to take some questions from the crowd as well with a microphone. I kind of need to see the setup, but hearing that's a good possibility. Again, remember, drink and food specials. So don't make us look like idiots. Come out and see us. Let's get a good crowd. Have a good time there for an hour on the square tomorrow. Again, 5:30 or so. We'll talk with Todd Wade and probably many other things that stupid things we talk about every single day. Anyway, up at the site at rebelgrove.com, Chad Simmons' recruiting story this morning, Russell with some nuggets, Neil's observations, and then I wrote about this morning the need for extra communication on the Ole Miss defense, Josiah Coatney, Victor Evans, the people I quoted there. Where basically they said that a lot of guys didn't know what to do and couldn't communicate it, and if you can't do that, it didn't really matter what happened past that point. There's a lot of truth to that, so they talked about that on the site at rebelgrove.com. Ole Miss coming off a season where they finished 123rd nationally against the run last year. They maybe the most damning stat in that standpoint is that they allowed 1,830 yards rushing before first contact last season. So before the running back or the quarterback or whomever was touched, 1,830 yards. 38 teams in the country allowed fewer yards than that total last year. So even if there was 0 yards after contact, Ole Miss would have been 39th in the country in rushing defense. They tacked on another 1,114 after contact to end up almost at 3,000 and at 123rd nationally. By comparison, Alabama, who led the nation, give it 1,326 total in two more games than Ole Miss last year. So nearing three times as many yards Ole Miss allowed than Alabama in fewer games when you look at it that way. But anyway.
Whew.
Yeah.
Sobering.
You wrote a little bit about that, but you didn't have that breakdown. So that's a tough one.
No, that's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, 1,830 yards before contact. Meaning a lot of times guys just went untouched.
Which is about two things.
Yeah.
Got beat at the line of scrimmage.
And not fast enough. Can't get to gaps.
Yeah. That's
same thing, but different.
Probably a better way to put it. It just athletically got beat.
Yeah.
And then B, Fitz, not getting the right place. It's August the 8th. This is the part of the year. Chase can vouch for this. I'm going to be – I want to be careful because it's the part of the year where I get killed.
About 3.5 weeks away from opening day.
Other people who cover the team take a much different tact this time of year, every year. There are a lot of question marks on the defensive side of the ball. A lot. They're everywhere. They're working at it, like you said. I've talked to some of the guys. You've talked to some of the guys. There's no one's sticking their head in the sand. No one is denying that defensively there's a lot of work to do. I talked to Ryder Anderson yesterday. I'll have that story up soon. He was very frank about it. But there are a lot of questions. And it is not realistic, in my opinion. And Chase, feel free to disagree, and probably would make for a good podcast. It's not realistic to expect all of those questions to get answered early this season. It's not realistic for none of them to get answered, but it's not realistic for all of them to get answered for the people who are buying just words that this is going to be some significantly better defense this year. I would argue that precedent doesn't support you.
Well, and a lot of it is, I mean, the sobering thing isn't even necessarily that a lot of them aren't going to get accomplished, is that right now, there's no way to know. I mean, they're not facing another team. They're not facing a team with a different uniform that's scheming against them, that is game planning to beat these things. I get to do a lot of self-scouting, but not the same thing. I mean, in a lot of ways, Texas Tech's going to give you some type of barometer, and then you're going to get a little more barometer every single week past that until you get into the heart of the schedule, and they can be better. How much better? How much better does that matter? I don't know. We'll find out, and we'll find out in a few weeks. But no, right now, that's the thing with me is, you know, a lot of times the scariest thing with anything is not knowing, and Ole Miss is in a very not knowing spot right now where they can feel good about it, but you really aren't sure what's going on.
I watched a lot of linebacker stuff yesterday. John Sumrall is – you're getting your money's worth. If you're an Ole Miss fan, you're
– he's working at it.
You're getting your every penny on the dollar on your investment there. I'm not sure if I did that term correctly, but you know what I mean. He's maxing out. He's not taking hours off.
Yeah, you don't want pennies on the dollar.
You're getting your full dollar's worth.
Yeah.
They're working on angles. They're working on making sure you're in the right place. They're emphasizing little things. There's a lot of effort going into it. I did see, I told Chase this when we got started, there were a couple of the young kids that I think the lights are coming on. I like Zakarian Baker. He's not there yet.
Okay.
Not there yet. He's not there yet. But athletically, Chase, he's got a chance. The Ruggs kid, I can't think, Cavante, I think is his name.
Yep.
Forgive me with names. It's still early. I love what I see out of him athletically. Now, he's a little raw. You can tell at the high school level he played everywhere. He's too thin right now to play effectively in the SEC, in my opinion. If he proves me wrong, great. It'll be a great story. But he's a kid that I could see getting in a college weight room and in a college nutrition program and putting, like Ryder Anderson has, putting 30 pounds of muscle on in a year and being a different kid. I could see that. And there's reason for encouragement there. Now, is he ready to play today? I don't think so. I'm not an SEC coach. If he is, again, awesome. It'll be a cool story. Great. His brother plays at Alabama. This kid's got a chance to be a really special player, I think. Not now. They're working with Dietrich Bing-Dukes, who kind of is what he is. Josh Clark, Momo Sanogo. They've got a handful of guys there that they're trying to find fits, and they're doing the smart thing right now on defense. Lots of experiment. People want depth charts. There's not one. I kind of gave you a here's who happened to run with the first group for a little while yesterday. Here's who ran with the second group. If you read too much into that, that's on you, not me, because I threw lots of caveats in it. They're experimenting a lot. I like Vernon Dasher. Very athletic. Josiah Coatney looks like a very good player up front. Some other guys are going to have to come along. They just don't – what they don't have – and who's this on? This is on the coaching staffs over the last several years. They just didn't recruit well enough on the defensive side of the ball. They don't have enough players there. And when I say players, I mean impact players. And this is a league where you win on defense with impact players. You win on defense with future NFL players. That's how you win in the SEC on defense. It's not any more complicated than that. That's how you win in this league. I don't think they have enough of those guys right now, but we'll see. They're working at it. This situation wasn't created in a year, and it's not going to get solved in a year. It's going to require multiple recruiting classes of solid role players mixed with impact players. I think you have to have at least one impact player at all three levels of your defense to be excellent. And I don't know that this one does.
It's fair. All the way around. I was trying to figure out ways to counter that, but no, that's right.
I hope I'm wrong. It's a better – this team winning 8 or 9 games would be such an awesome story. Frankly, given the atmosphere and coaching today, it'd be good to see a nice guy, a good guy, a guy who busted his butt and works hard. And all you have to do is listen to Matt Luke's voice yesterday. He works hard.
He loses his voice again yesterday.
It's gone. I mean, we had 2 minutes into the press conference, not press conference, but the little media scrum, and I thought –
gaggle.
Yeah, the gaggle. I thought, let's stop asking this guy questions. It's hurting him to talk. And he would have stood there and done it.
Is he trying to at least drink something and stay?
Well, I asked him. You clearly haven't watched the video. I asked him just 3 minutes. I asked him, I said, so what are you doing about your voice? And he laughed and he said, lemons, hot salt water.
Seriously.
And he said, it comes back later in the day.
But you lose it again the next morning.
He said, it's a vicious cycle, you know, and he laughed. And I mean, they're working their asses off.
So we'll.
And that's what you do. It you're going to get a full effort. The tank's going to go all the way to empty every day. Every day. And that's really, if you're a fan base out there, that's about all you can ask for. But I would caution you about too much of the Kool-Aid. That deal on defense is work. And there's not a proven running back on that roster yet either. And from what I saw yesterday, and it's early. It's August the 8th, Chase.
One day in pads.
I saw one day in pads, and I'm not a football expert. If you let me watch one basketball practice, I can come back with some pretty decent stuff. One football practice, I need more. So I'm giving this as a caveat. There's work to do to make up the gap that's lost between what's there right now and Jordan Wilkins. I'm not saying it can't happen, but they're not there yet.
We had some more of this in the next segment as I am getting a few questions on the message board that I asked for this morning, kind of getting this in real time. But to finish up this one, this was interesting. And now a lot of it, I'm not sure what it really means because the NCAA, as we know, is a corrupt ticky-tack organization that has very selective enforcement. However, I was going to do this with Jeffrey, kind of doing a back and forth with Neil. However, Jeffrey stays on Twitter 26 and a half hours a day, so I'm pretty sure he would see this today and it would not be good tomorrow. Is there have been 11 Power 5 football programs that have never been on probation, ever. I mean, think you can get, Neil.
11 Power 5 programs that have never been on probation.
Football probation.
Ever.
Yes. I mean, obviously I would have missed some, but if you told me to write down 20 and try to get the 11, I would have gotten 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 probably.
Really?
Yeah.
And when you say probation,
I mean any level of NCAA probation where they have a restriction, you know, coming years for a, you know, okay. Whatever.
UCLA?
That is not correct.
Okay. Texas?
No. You're not really thinking in the right vein. What programs that don't recruit at high levels that aren't going to get you in situations where you get in trouble?
See, I was thinking about programs that the NCAA looks the other way because...
Well, they popped Alabama, they popped USC, they popped Miami. Like, that's...
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, that's kind of a misnomer, I mean, honestly, because they actually hit more powerful programs than they do other programs.
Let me try a different tack.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt.
That is correct.
Wake Forest.
That is correct.
Northwestern.
That is correct.
Purdue.
Correct. That was not one I would have gotten, but yes, that is on there.
Duke.
That is correct.
Boston College.
That is correct.
See, all you had to do is give me a hint, man. I was going to be on a roll. Stanford.
That is correct.
Louisiana Monroe.
That is incorrect.
Oh, I was thinking of academic powerhouses. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Rice.
Nope. They're also not Power 5.
Oh, you're right. I started to say Baylor, but no.
You ready?
Yeah, sure.
Boston College, Duke, Iowa.
Look at the Hawkeyes.
Louisville. A little surprising. Does not bleed over into the basketball program.
No, it does not.
Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay. No, Gabe would agree. He would nod.
Gabe would say, yeah, I can tell you they're not cheating. I go to practice every day. They're not cheating.
He does have this sort of I'm going to finish the list in a second. But Gabe's funny because he has like this fatalist thing where it's like they're going to recruit like they've always recruited. However, somehow he's almost kind of – not shocked when they do win games ever so often too. It's a weird little balancing act with Missouri because they are competitive at times despite the fact that they recruit no one ever.
They're not recruiting 5 and high 4-star players. They're not landing them.
Making a living off 5-7 threes.
And you can do that.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah, you got to be right. Got to be efficient. Got
to
hit it.
And then to get lucky. And then to win big, you got to get lucky with things you can't control.
Yeah, and get quarterbacks. Chase Daniel, Drew Locke, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
So, Missouri, Northwestern, Purdue, Stanford, Vanderbilt, Wake Forest, and Washington State closes out the list.
Washington State.
Yeah, Mike Leach not getting anybody in trouble out in Pullman. Hard to recruit 5 stars to Pullman to get in trouble.
Well, and for all the people that wanted Mike Leach at Ole Miss, understand this about Mike Leach. They don't recruit.
Mm-mm.
They just sort of take who they get. And that wouldn't have worked. And some of you people would have lost your minds on Mike Leach.
Because there's a difference in niche programs and scheme programs. Washington State is such a scheme program that they have one method why they have to do it. They try to find some guys that fit this role or that role, and then you kind of see how it – A, you see how it pans out, and B, you're not in the SEC. They don't have to be as physical out there. It's a different brand of football where they're not just getting beat to death every single week on the offensive and defensive lines and in the front seven defensively like they would over here. Washington State would be a shell of a roster at the end of an SEC season if they had to come over here and play this thing 8 times.
Oh, it'd be absolutely, yeah. There's no other word.
I mean, for all the SEC stuff, they are much more physical than the Pac-12, and it would be a whole different ballgame.
It'd be a broken shell of a program.
Yeah.
You know, like you get an egg and you drop the egg on the ground, and just the shells everywhere.
Yeah, just physically they couldn't compete in a week-in and week-out basis.
No.
So, all right, podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processings in Memphis are getting local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing in Oxford as well. So ask Jason about the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
If you are looking for real estate in the Birmingham area, get in touch with Megan Phillips with LAH Real Estate. She's the person to get in touch with for all of your real estate needs in the Birmingham area with almost a decade of experience. Megan's knowledge and expertise can help you buy or sell your home today. So please visit her website at Megan, that's M-E-A-G-A-N-M, as in Mike, Phillips.com. Or call Megan at 205-602-7929. Again, 205-602-7929. Getting closer and closer to that home opener. We're talking a lot about Texas Tech, which, of course, is the next game, so that's what we'll talk about. September the 8th, Ole Miss opens its home season. Seven SEC home games starting on September the 8th. Forgive me, I'm sorry. It's been a weird morning. You get in touch, whether you're coming up for one of those games, all of those games, just the league games. Alabama's on September the 15th. Get in touch with 7 South Tailgating. They're celebrating 10 years of business this season. Try 7 South once. You'll never tailgate without them again. They'll set up your own personal gear, or you can rent everything from them. No one matches their customer service, their attention to detail. It's 7SouthTailgating.com. And this podcast is brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, all with the personal touch. When you call OUB, you speak directly with a live person, all without having to press 10 buttons, all without a 5-minute wait. OUB offers its customers the absolute best cash checking account. It's called Kasasa, and with Kasasa, OUB will pay customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. With Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Locker Stockers. Let them take the hassle out of stocking your locker suite at Vaught Hemingway. This season, the customer places the order, and they handle purchase and delivery to locker or suite before game day. Give them a call, 662-586-1487, or info at lockerstockers.com. Vaught Hemingway, the Pavilion, or Swayze Field to fill your locker this athletic season. And went over to Texas Tech site just to see what was going on over there on Rivals. They have this thing all the way opened up. There is literally a thread from the moderator at the top of the message board where they are reporting every single play during the entire practice on the message board with what happened.
Listen.
everything.
Football's a very complicated game. That's why Hugh Jackson's mother passed away, and he just went right back to watching film.
Saw that.
Because the game, the opener is September the 9th. It's a month away. I mean, if you don't watch film every moment for the next month, you have no chance to win a game.
And I don't follow the Browns whatsoever, so I have no idea. Obviously, this was on Hard Knocks, I think, episode one. A couple different things there, though. I did see, again, where media loves telling the entire story. He had been flying back and forth to L.A. to see her pretty constant over the last month or so, and they have pushed the funeral to after the first preseason game to allow him to attend on Friday. So it was – there was more to it than that one person tweeted. I know you're all shocked.
Yeah, I'm stunned. I don't know.
Point being, there's no SEC program that would allow that type of access, so I found it kind of interesting as I was clicking through. Ole Miss is still probably in the top half compared to a lot of them because it's really gotten nuts in a lot of places. But anyway.
Yeah. We got full access to a full practice yesterday. It's fine. Media is not needed at every practice. Now, we weren't in the way. I'll give Matt credit for a couple of things. We talked about this in the past. Not just with Hugh Freeze, but with Houston Nutt, too, since I've been on this beat. And then last year when Matt was the interim coach. There used to always be, media can't come to practice because stuff's going to get out. And I would laugh and go, that's not how it's getting out. The quarterback club guys are putting it out. They're the ones standing at practice, watching every practice, talking about it. They're the ones that get on message boards and put things out. They get on private boards and put things out. That's how stuff gets out. They weren't there yesterday. I didn't see any booster presence of significance at all. In fact, I'm not sure I saw a booster. Some NFL scouts. Saw Matt Luke's dad. Pretty sure he's not going to sabotage the program by putting out stuff. Then there was credentialed media. And then the season guys, the guys who shoot the stuff for the season.
But that's employees.
Yeah, they're employees, yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for people. That's who was there.
All right,
I was impressed.
Where do you fall on this? Because I'm kind of laughing that it's a big story, or a big situation, I guess would be the way to put it. But I don't know necessarily where I fall. The Roanoke Times suing its former football beat writer over a Twitter account. Where are you falling on this?
You're gonna have to give me a little
more.
You hadn't
seen this?
No.
Okay. I'll fill you in best I can. People that hadn't seen it as well, if you don't run in journalism circles, maybe you've missed this. But I find it interesting just from a technology human interest story at this point. So essentially what's happened is the guy that was covering Virginia Tech for the Roanoke Times has moved over to cover Virginia Tech for The Athletic.
Okay.
His Twitter account was whatever his name is, VT, covering Virginia Tech.
Okay.
And had about 27,000 followers.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, something like that.
It's a big fan base.
Yeah. So when he switched over to The Athletic, he's kept the Twitter account, tweeting out Athletic sign-up stuff.
Okay.
So he's getting sued by the Times because they say they own that Twitter account.
He does
not. Here's the catches. Wait for me. The Twitter account was first registered by Kyle Tucker when he was the beat writer for Virginia Tech for that paper, and then he handed the keys to this guy when he left for SEC Country or the Lexington paper or wherever he went right after that. I forget.
Okay.
Now. I think it was Lexington paper. Louisville or Lexington. He covered Kentucky basketball.
I think he went to Louisville and then he went to SEC Country.
Yeah, so either way. Whatever.
Yeah.
He handed the thing over. It was created by the company for the beat writer when it first happened. It already had 16,000 followers when this guy took it over. And as the Washington Post reports, the Roanoke Times spells it right in its handbook, colon, employees who have been issued, quote, company-owned information, assets, keys, or other access items must return them to the company upon termination of employment, according to lawsuit filing this week in federal court. Does this policy also include the keys to social media accounts maintained by its reporters? That's what the Virginia newspaper is now arguing.
Are they going after damages?
Yeah, they're in excess of $5,000. That's just the way the statute reads. I don't know exactly what they're asking for. And the only part that I completely roll my eyes at in the plaintiff summary is they said that this amount of potential customer acquisition and other things was worth at least $150,000.
Yeah, because people are subscribing to the newspaper.
And would take 7 years to duplicate, in their opinion.
Twitter's free.
Well, their point being, if their new guy started an account tomorrow, it would take 7 years to get to 27,000 followers. And and have an impact. Well, I mean, it would take a while, but...
Yeah, but it wouldn't take 7 years.
Yeah, reading, continuing reading. The paper filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday. In the U.S. Western... U.S. District Court for Western District of Virginia to grant a temporary restraining order that prevent Bitter, the former reporter, from using the account to promote his work covering the Hokies for his new employer, The Athletic. The filing says that Bitter, quote, signed an acknowledgement of receipt of the employee handbook, and the handbook makes clear that all social media accounts and communication on those accounts are the property of BH Media, who owns the paper.
It's awfully petty.
It's petty. There's no doubt about that. But I find myself, as time going on, kind of agreeing with them. Because he didn't create it and he didn't bring it and just keep changing his name over. It's not like he worked for the Richmond paper or somebody else and then just switched over his at Andy Bitter and said, well, now I'll cover Roanoke and now I'll cover so-and-so, like anybody else would do. This was, hey, look, this is our Twitter account. Change it to your name. And then that's what Kyle Tucker did and that's not what you're doing. There is a certain to it that I almost – now, look, the damages are stupid. I kind of agree with them.
Well, it's one of the reasons. I've had some people say, why don't – and I know yours is Rivals Chase.
It is.
I've had some people say, why don't you put Rivals or whatever in your name? And I'm like, because I just kind of just don't want – and frankly, they probably don't want me tweeting with them. I'm not as disciplined of a tweeter as you are. But I've kind of just wanted to keep it mine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it's preference. No big
deal. Yeah. But, you know. I don't know. I just think it's petty. A lot of newspapers are really petty right now. You had 15 years to figure this out. It's on you.
You don't agree with them? Really?
I mean, I kind of agree. I mean, legally, yes. But the fact
I mean, in a lot of ways, I kind of almost criticizing the reporter now going, just create a new freaking account.
Well, yeah, he should have. Absolutely.
Because I think I would be irritated if my guy is using an account that was accumulated by multiple staff members, and he is promoting my competition.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes. Legally, I think he's going to lose. I just.
And the restraining order is the obvious thing. Finally, right. Try to figure this out.
Start a new account. Use the publicity from this to get the followers.
Yeah, it says here the paragraph that I found in another publication. The lawsuit argues that Bitter has essentially taken BH Media's curated customer list, or at worst, a list of potential targets to use for direct marketing on behalf of a direct competitor. The Times suggests in its filing that it would take 7 years and cost the paper $150,000 to rebuild a base of followers for an account dedicated to Virginia Tech Athletics, but that, quote, any attempt at recreation would likely never result in the same configuration of followers, end quote. So, anyway.
I've always found it interesting when people try to put a valuation on what a Twitter follower is worth. Gabe DeArmond and I have had this conversation a bunch.
It's all indirect. There's zero directness to it whatsoever.
Like, I don't use Twitter much for Ole Miss stuff. And I get people that get irritated with me. Not really irritated, but how come you don't tweet about Ole Miss? Well, twofold. One, I want you to subscribe. And two, if you are subscribing and I'm putting everything on Twitter, I'm devaluing your subscription. And so what I do is I do more like what I did yesterday, which was I put everything from practice on the message board and then just tweeted out the link. So if you want to read that stuff, you're going to have to subscribe and get $99 in team gear. Get gear 99.
Yeah, our biggest criticism that we all do that we don't do enough because the way content is used is making sure we linked everything on Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook is still where clickbacks are much higher than Twitter because – tweets last 7 minutes. 7 minutes.
Yeah, I'm bad about it because I don't personally use Facebook.
No, I have to make myself now go do it. Because Facebook has some issues with, no, nobody cares about this, I'm moving on, but their algorithm they use for company business accounts is very complicated, to the point of it's not like a personal account where if I put something on my Facebook that's personal, pretty much all my followers are going to see it. It's going to go there. Businesses have to use their Facebook accounts nonstop for that algorithm to push them pretty high. If they're very sporadic in their posting, it just nobody ever sees it. It's amazing how they really limit the amount of people that see things because of the amount of use for all those sites.
That is interesting. You're almost better off putting it on your personal account.
Either that or just putting everything on your business account constantly.
Yeah.
Where it's just every story, a question of the day, just boom, 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 boom. Like, it's one of the places newspapers have done a really good job of is figuring out how to use Facebook. They'll make, and now I'm not disciplined enough for this, and we don't frankly have the same amount of context. We cover one beat, not 1,000. But there's a lot of newspapers that'll make, 70 Facebook posts a day. And it's just everything, because it keeps everything rolling up at the top of the page for them, and they get pretty good hits on it. Yeah, Facebook gets a lot more back than Twitter for whatever reason.
So. You quit using Facebook on a personal level for a long time.
Oh, years! I just completely shut down the account. Didn't have the account at all.
Yeah, I'm so inactive on mine that I barely use it. I haven't shut it down because I have a lot of photos stored in it. That's about it.
Well, that's the reason I came back.
And every once in a while, they'll do that deal of, hey, you posted this 9 years ago today, and it kind of hits you in the feels.
Yeah. They're good at that now. They'll pop you a little bit on some of those sometimes.
I can't do that today. I'm already close enough to end the feels.
Why?
Oh, first day of senior year.
Oh, yeah.
It's today.
That's right.
It hit me a little bit.
Did it?
Oh, it hit me a lot. Yeah. Yep.
It is first day of senior year.
Yep.
When you took over at Rivals, she was 8.
We moved here, she was getting ready to start the second grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
That might be the biggest, kind of the deal there.
Yeah, she's a senior. Has her senior jersey on. Yep.
I saw you put the sacks back out on the doors out front.
Laura put the sacks back out.
They've been put back out.
Yeah. I wouldn't have.
Charger logo.
I wouldn't have remembered that if you'd given me 1,000 hints of, hey, something's missing.
How many door hangers do y'all have that you alternate throughout the year?
I have no idea.
You really don't know that answer?
I don't.
I'm told very often to go get other ones and put them out, so I have a very keen understanding of how many we have.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
I think there's an understanding that I would probably not be disciplined enough to go get it done.
Yeah, it's about once a month. We've got a different one for every month almost.
That only is not my category.
Uh-huh.
But the people who would perhaps want it to be in my category have surrendered that.
You know, I do have the thing, though, at Christmas that's fantastic, where I'm told, just get the stuff out and you don't have to touch a thing. I can get the stuff out and then you let me just go ahead and leave you alone.
That's not a bad deal.
No, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
Go up in the attic, grab the crap, bring it down, pull it out.
Done.
Don't break anything, for the love of.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Be sober enough to do it without breaking stuff.
Yeah. And then you can go do whatever you're doing.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal.
No. Now, you're going to have to put a kitchen or some crap together at some point that's going to suck. But
yeah,
that kitchen last year was one of the worst items I've ever even tried to deal with ever. I had a buddy come over, and it was like, hey, here's a case of beer, and please God, hang around till this thing's done.
Yeah, I'm so far past that phase of life that I don't remember it.
Oh.
I think because
I'm not
blacked
handy.
It out.
I can't do this. I'm intimidated by that stuff, kind of like you are about technology, to where I don't even want to look at it. I'll pay 10 times what I should pay just to not have to do it.
Well, the great thing about me and technology is either you can do it or Caroline can do it. I mean, so I don't have to do it. Because I can say, hey, Caroline, done.
I feel confident that I could teach her to produce the podcast in 25 minutes.
Yeah, for sure.
25 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the path.
Hey, interns, resume credits.
You know what? I did have my tax people tell me that I should hire. It's a way to, cut into your tax burden a little bit. Pay your kids to do legitimate work.
Uh-huh.
Up to a certain amount. They don't get taxed on it.
Yeah, there's a threshold.
You might have just hit on something. Because she's here for another 3 years. Campbell's gone. It's over.
We can still get some work out of the other one, though.
We can still get a good 2 years out of Caroline. And I'll give my kids this. At least the older two. Carson's too young to quite be there yet. But the older two are motivated by money, which is good. I believe in that. I take pride and I taught something well. Because in the words
American history, man, geometry, man, capitalism, yeah.
In the words of my friend Andy Kennedy, great, one of the best quotes I've ever heard. Money can't buy happiness, but broke won't buy shit.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that's true.
The number two part of that, as I've said many times in this podcast, is one Mr. Anthony Golson, Cinquez's dad. We were at the at Trustmark at the All-Star game his senior year, baseball. I walked over to him and just kind of chatting, hey, what are y'all going to do, draft, blah, blah, blah. And his quote, if it don't make money, it don't make sense. That's Mr. Anthony Golson. So
it's hard to completely argue with that. People can get sappy and sentimental, but
if it don't make money, it don't make sense. So,
when Campbell said something at one point about a year ago, well, not a year, I lose track, thank God, of time. And she mentioned something about journalism because she and I are.
Every one of your kids are contemplating journalism. It's cracking me up.
She and I are wired the. So similar, it's unbelievable. And it might be why sometimes we just clash. But I said, well, if you're going to journalism, you're going to Missouri. The end. Because I'm not paying for it otherwise, because it's silly. And that was the end of that.
That was it?
That was it.
Yeah, she's not going far off.
No, I'm talking about Campbell.
Oh, Campbell. I thought you meant Caroline. Sorry.
No, Caroline doesn't know what she wants to do. She just wants to make money.
And be a rebelette or some type of dance.
She would
person.
Like to be a rebelette. And if she can't be a rebelette, she would like to be on a college dance team.
Yeah. Some kind of it.
An it.
Yeah.
She's putting the work in. We'll see.
That's a real cheap hobby, isn't it?
Oh.
Dance.
And we're double dipping on it.
I told you I'm terrified right now because my child's really good at gymnastics, even as a 2-year-old. I go, please stop.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Let's do something else.
Yeah. You got Chargerettes, which have fees sometimes. And then Deborah K. School of Dance, which has fees all the time.
No offense, obviously.
Yeah.
Deborah.
Good for you, Deborah K.
Yeah. All right. We'll get into some questions in a second. Sorry. I'm just having one of those kind of days. It's okay. Podcast is brought to you also in part by Stacey Berry and the Berry Home Team, berryhometeam.com. You can reach her at 901-481-6420. She works for Keller Williams, the number one real estate agency in the world, number one in agents, units sold, and volume sold. And Berry Home Team is now an integral part of that renowned brand. So downtown, midtown, Germantown, or Collierville, she can help you out to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate. Stacey Lane Berry at kw.com. That's Stacey with an E, the berryhometeam.com, and 901-481-6420.
What do you feel about it? I know I gotta read some ads here, but the people that do their Instagrams and it's nothing but selfies.
I just wanting to let you know where they are at all moments. It's a millennial thing, right?
I guess. It doesn't bother me. Bother me. I don't know why.
You don't take a lot of selfies?
No.
You know, a certain angle you have to do them at, too, to get your...
Your face doesn't look fat.
Yeah. Never go from underneath. You always go from above. Horror stories are pictures from underneath. You don't want all this jowl stuff showing in the photo.
Yeah, I'm not a big selfie person.
I'm shocked.
I haven't taken many selfies.
Peloton selfie today. We'll get that on Twitter.
How would you even do it?
Yeah, me and Neil doing the duck face and taking a selfie. Go ahead.
I have done some duck face selfies, but only to send to Caroline and her friends. It's our own little jokes.
Okay. Moving on.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you, this year's not going to go well for me emotionally, and the one in 3 years is going to, I will be sobbing on the podcast.
That one? Really?
Well, just because it'll just be both of them gone.
I understand.
You know, it's been... It's like I saw this picture. I'm going to try to get through this without losing it. There's a picture that I've put it out on Instagram. It's this morning. It's Campbell and all these girls that are seniors. Man, I've seen most of those girls grow up. You know what I mean? I mean, in our home all the time and spending the night and coming over and to, quote, study, end quote, and to... watch TV or hang out or have dinner or whatever. And I see them all as these little girls. Because I've known them since they were third graders, some of them since they were second graders. fifth graders, sixth graders, really all of them, at least since junior high, when they all had braces and they were awkward and they just were little girls. And I still think of them as little girls. And then you see these pictures, and they're not little girls anymore. They're 17 years old, and they're seniors in high school. And a year from now, they're going to start college, whether it's at Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Arkansas or Auburn or Tennessee, one of them. They're all going places. And it just, it hit me a little today. It kind of did that not just my daughter, it's the other girls too that I've known for all these years that, and I'm a goofball with little girls. It's easy. It was easy for me. Like, people, when we had Carson, and I thought Carson was going to be a girl, just because I figured that's what I did. I made girls. I was perfectly cool with it. You know, little girls are fun. It's fun.
Would have been a little more expensive down the road.
They are, but it's fun to be a dad to little girls. If you're not one of these guys who's super hung up on,
you let your guard down,
machismo and stuff. And I've never been that way. I mean, come on. I'm not that guy. I'm not the manliest man in the history of men. That's not me. So I'm cool with it. And so I could always hang out and do have tea and do the stuffed animals and do the dolls, and all that stuff was always fun for me. And so Caroline's group, I mention her because Campbell's group's a little different than Caroline's group. Caroline's group's more into all the selfies and the duck face and the thing with the fingers that I don't understand why they do it. But I playfully mock them. You ask if I did selfies. I'll do a selfie of this and send it back to them. And they all think it's funny because I'm an idiot. And anyway, I will miss some of that stuff in ways that it's hard to properly describe. Anyway, before we completely go downhill, this podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan, go check out Grenada Nissan's off Interstate 55 in Grenada. Speaking of people who've been with us for a long time, Grenada Nissan's been with us since Campbell was probably about a third grader, a fourth grader. They're awesome people, Gene and Sandy, over there at Grenada Nissan. They have great deals on new, previously owned Nissans. We tell you about the lease deals all the time. Just go in, mention that you heard about it on the podcast, mention that you heard about it at rebelgrove.com, and they'll take extra care of you. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Harry Alexander's been with us a long time, too. Harry is an Oxford-based Remax Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than Harry. Go to his site. He'll prove it to you. It's harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. The results that you'll see are updated daily. And then send him an email. It's ha@harryalexander.com. And Rebel Nation, 2018 is the year of the fan. Meet the Rebels Day is Saturday. They're unveiling the new mascot. They may or may not have given out a little bit of a hint yesterday. Maybe we can talk about that in a minute.
A silhouette yesterday.
It was interesting. If it's the silhouette, then I think that my little theory is right, but I could be dead wrong. I don't know. I haven't asked.
Go ahead, and we'll go there.
Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com.
So, yeah, Ole Miss, it's actually the first question in the mailbag was, have I seen the mascot? Have you seen the mascot? I have not seen the mascot. I have no idea. I actually had not even seen the silhouette until somebody would ask me about it late last
night. I have not seen the mascot. I'm told that it is a heavily guarded secret.
Really? You know, the bear was too, and it got leaked out. Somebody took a photo of it in Michael's office, I think, and then tweeted it out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it got. Yeah. There was a mascot gate back in the day with that. I haven't seen it. The silhouette appears to be a person but pretty much just a person in a uniform with some sort of helmet / mask headwear on.
Yeah.
It's kind of where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Multiple people, act like I'm quoting crime things close to the situation. I don't know.
Sources close to the mascot situation.
But some people have told me that they think that it's probably going to wear number 47, probably going to have a Tony Fine element to it, which is, you know, and again, I'm not getting off into this.
Well, we've seen some correspondence that has that's indicative of that.
That is interesting to me simply because of the complicated life of Tony Fine. I understand it, but at the same time, when you talk about mascots and fuzzy feelings and kids, I'm shocked by that just from the standpoint of, you know, kids asking why and then trying to give any type of long-winded answer to that conversation. That
you were very eloquent in the way that you just described that. It is complicated.
Yeah. Tragically life-ending. Yeah, tough.
Typical of most lives, there's a lot of nuance and complexity, and it's not a Disney story.
No. Sad story. Devastating tragedy.
And so I don't... I don't know. If someone... I'll put it this way. I'm not an expert. If someone had said to me, what would you do? If I'm going to do the shark... I know people go, well, it's a land shark. Whatever. Shark. I'm going all in with the shark.
Just a shark.
I'm going to be a damn shark.
But it's a land shark.
But I don't, what is that?
You saw it on Saturday Night Live. I don't know why you keep asking that question.
But even the land shark on Saturday Night Live was a shark, right? Katy Perry and the two sharks?
No. You know, like the skit back in the day. It's like the thing, and they had the head thing on, and it's walking through the room, land sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing here. It's your era, not mine.
I know. I don't know. I wish them well with it. I hope it works out.
But yes, I'm told that it's pretty much a real silhouette. Going to have kind of a helmet on, muscular dude, shark-headed. Something like that. That's what I'm told. Look, mascots are for kids. They're to drive kids' interest, and any adult that has a really strong opinion on a mascot, I'm disregarding you to begin with.
So. Oh, I am too. I just think, and I'm with you completely there for kids, so make it...
And market the crap out of it with merchandise.
I would make it more animated, but I haven't seen it, so I'm judging something that I haven't seen, so that's completely unfair. I would make it, if it were me, I would make it animated, fluffy, something that's easy, that's lovable. For kids, because you're right, it's for kids, and then market the living hell out of it. T-shirts, hats, sweatshirts,
stuffed
Christmas
something.
Ornaments, something stuffed that little Johnny and little Jenny can take to bed at night and cuddle. Make some heartstrings.
You hit the best point. I would have been really tempted to have two, male and female.
Oh, absolutely. Unless you have one that is so perfect that you don't need to.
Yeah, Johnny and Jane or whatever, and...
I've used this example before. So I took Campbell years ago. I'm on a Campbell trip today. I apologize, everybody. Forgive me. I'm sorry. If you have kids, you can relate. You're probably forgiving me. If you don't have kids and you can't relate, I get it. I apologize. You can make fun of me. I'll take it. So we went to our first Thunder game years and years ago. You know this story.
I do.
Years and years ago, we went to a Thunder game. They were playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. It was in... December-ish? I don't know. It was a game at Chesapeake. Ryan and Kim lived in Oklahoma City, and we took the kids, and we had two sections of tickets, four down low and some others that were on the front row of the second level. And so Ryan and his son Drew and me and Campbell sat in the lower seats. And Campbell was, what, eight? She didn't care about basketball, about professional basketball. She was an 8-year-old girl. What she did care about was she liked the mascot. We got there for the early part of the game, and the Thunder bring Rumble out, the big bison. And he's fluffy.
He is.
He's. You got a picture of him there?
I mean, I don't, but I know. I've seen him. I know what he looks like.
He's got the Thunder.
He has a drum.
Thunder uniform, and he beats the drum slowly, and everybody claps with it, and he starts beating it faster and faster and faster and faster, and then they introduce the starting lineup. And then Rumble comes out later, and Rumble dunks, and Rumble entertains, and Rumble does Rumble stuff.
It's a really big drum.
So we got to halftime, and I said, hey, do you want to go get a shirt or something? She said, yeah. What she wanted was a stuffed Rumble. She wanted a stuffed rumble. So we searched Chesapeake Energy Arena for a stuffed rumble. Turns out they were out of stuffed rumbles. Because stuffed rumbles, as you might guess, were very popular items. We found a baseball cap, a blue baseball cap with Rumble's face on it. And Campbell wore that cap for a long time. We really don't have any ties to Oklahoma City. Ryan doesn't live there anymore. She still cheers for the Thunder, in large part because of Rumble.
What's the bison with the horns?
Let me see.
What is this?
Never seen that one.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Let me click it.
The official Rumble is the one that you showed me with the drum.
Oh, okay. This is a fan account.
Yeah.
There was a bison with horns.
So my point is, and this applies to Al the elephant or alligator or whoever, lovable little fuzzy mascots, is that you get kids and you attach some heartstrings on their level. And all those heartstrings won't hold up, but they all won't break either. And those kids go on at the college level. Those kids go on to become students who go on to become alumni, who potentially go on to become donors and ticket holders and those kind of things. I mean, you have to start young. Whatever they do, I hope they market the hell out of it. That's the smart thing to do, and you try to create some young fans, because I'm with you. If you're a 50-year-old guy out there and you're worked up over mascots, God bless you. Your life is either miserable or it's so good that you don't have anything to worry about. Go to the beach.
Question on the board. No, Ben Brown's legitimately good. He's running with the ones. He appears to be doing quite the job of holding off Jordan Sims. I'm sure there is some motivating factors there for Jordan. But, look, they're both going to play, but Ben's holding his own at this point.
Really good run blocker.
Yeah.
He's a smart kid. He's gotten big. He's works his butt off in pass protection. You know, people love to criticize Matt as an offensive line coach even. He's a pretty good evaluator of offensive linemen.
Had some low-rated guys pan out.
I mean, my understanding, he was the one that said, we've got to do this Rawlings thing. It's going to bite us in the ass if we don't. Sean Rawlings, if you remember, was prepared to go to Mississippi State.
This line would be a lot different without one Sean Rawlings.
Dude. Night and day. No, Brown looks – he's legitimately good. Has a really bright future if he can stay healthy.
I'm not going to bring back the culinary podcast to let Russell join me. Sorry, not going down that road right now. Let's see. We have – would Oklahoma and Virginia Tech be good or bad for the SEC?
Oh, it's okay, here's complicated.
Bring more money in.
It bring more money in. It depends on what your thoughts are on cord cutting and how you – it would help you redo your TV contracts.
Potentially to keep the same amount of money you have now, considering those contracts are going to go down because of cord cutting over the years.
It would allow you to – yeah. Probably good, all in all. Virginia Tech, Tennessee is a big game that would be attractive. Virginia Tech, Florida would be attractive. Oklahoma, LSU is attractive. Oklahoma, Alabama is attractive. Oklahoma, Texas A&M is attractive. Yeah, sure.
What's one upset? Be least surprised to see Ole Miss win, and one game that they should win that you'll be least surprised to see Ole Miss lose.
Ooh. All right. That's a good one. The game that they're picked to lose that I would be least surprised to see them win is LSU.
I agree.
The game where they would be picked to win and I would be least surprised to see them lose. Probably Arkansas?
Yeah, I mean, it's on the road. I mean, it's a coin flip, but Texas Tech would be my first answer if you went that direction. Just because I think it's going to be really high scoring and one team's going to get the ball last, frankly.
Blasphemy.
It's true.
No, you're right.
You know, you can make an argument here for a lot of games. While Ole Miss is, I mean, going to be favored by a good extent by that point, I think, as long as they stay healthy and on chalk. If you told me Nashville got a little weird, okay. They didn't do well up there 2 years ago. Vanderbilt seems to find ways to keep those games relatively interesting a lot of years.
And there's nobody there, and the arena, the environment is different.
Which creates a oddly harder place to play.
Yeah, and it's at nighttime sometimes.
25,000 people at most, and you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, and that game's in November, and if they play it at night, it could be really cold. Yeah, it's that game gets squirrely for a lot of reasons that are difficult to explain to people who don't go to a lot of games. And if you go to all the games, you get it, because they're going to go to Tiger Stadium. Whether you love or hate LSU, that environment for a player is awesome. They're going to go to War Memorial, which is actually pretty good environment for a player.
Yeah.
They're going to go to Texas Tech and play in an NFL arena for the opener. That's going to have a pretty good – if you're a player, you're getting a little geeked up. What's their other road game?
A&M.
A&M's got 100,000 people. It's weird as hell. But if you're a player, probably kind of fun to play there. And then you go to Vanderbilt, which is kind of like playing at a really big high school.
A&M would be my number two. I'm not surprised if they win because they don't hold home field well. It's late in the year. I don't know what Jimbo's first year is going to look like. It get a little tumultuous compared to what expectations are going to be for that program.
If you told me that Jimbo's path at A&M – now, hear me out here, people. This isn't a hot take. If you told me that his path resembled Nick Saban's at Alabama from the build standpoint – no, Jimbo's not winning 5 national titles in 9 years. That's not happening. But if you told me that – the first year he kind of lost his team because those were not his players. And then in year two, they took a big jump. And in year three, they were nationally competitive. I'd buy it.
Yeah. Get to a few more in a second. First day of the podcast is brought to you in part by MasterCraft's Lawn and Landscape. We'll serve as lawn maintenance and landscape company serving Oxford, Tupelo, and the surrounding area. 662-607-7773. MasterCraftsLawn.com. Sign an annual contract. I mentioned you heard him on the podcast. First cut will be free. They do everything from landscaping, lighting, irrigation installation, and much more. As we get closer to the winter, they'll do holiday lighting for your yard and outdoor living areas as well. So again, MasterCraft's Lawn and Landscape, 662-607-7773.
We've been telling you about Robert Gambrell and Gambrell and Associates for a while. Robert knows that many of the people listening to this podcast will never need a bankruptcy attorney or a Social Security disability attorney. However, many of you may be interested in reviewing your financial situation to consider asset protection. This is a part of what a good bankruptcy attorney does. Also, many of you have friends or relatives that get into difficult financial situations. Gambrell and Associates helps many people work through their times of hardship, whether that results in filing a bankruptcy petition or working to avoid a bankruptcy filing. Others are worried about their credit score. For those people, many times, Gambrell & Associates will refer their clients to Brian McLaurin, who's another advertiser on this podcast. Sometimes the fastest way to rebuild credit is tear it down, start over. This can be done by filing for relief under Chapter 7 to get a fresh start. Whatever your needs are, you, your relatives, or friends can get a free consultation for 1 hour or more to help you make decisions that are what's best for you. Go to avvo.com or superlawyers.com. Search for Robert Gambrell, then give him a call, 662-281-8800 in Oxford. The podcast is also brought to you by Billy's Pecans. Guests join us frequently on the show at billyspecans.com. It's getting close to the high school season. We talk about that a lot. Senior year began today in Oxford, for example. The Jamboree is Friday. Games start next Friday all over the state. All over, probably wherever you're listening to this, be a great item for a high school tailgate. College tailgates are coming up. Maybe you're driving to Houston for that opener. You're coming up to Oxford for the game on September the 8th. Billy's Pecans would be a great kind of a goodie to have with you as you get ready for the football season. Cinnamon spice pecans, toasted pecans, chocolate pecans of all sorts, cheese crispies, coffee cakes. It's all there. Southern pecan toffee. Pecan brittle. It's all there at Billy's Pecans, billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404.
Buy or sell, Jordan Tamu, 3,000 yards, 25-plus touchdowns.
Ooh.
Okay, he's going to play 12 games. So I was going to go yes on the yards. That's 2,500 yards.
Yeah, I was buying the yards.
That's 250 yards per game. That's
It was the touchdowns I was kind of thinking about. That's a lot of touchdowns.
Two plus one more game.
I'll buy it because I think when they play some of these subpar teams,
he's going to have five or six.
I think he's going to light them on fire.
Yeah.
And then I don't think, like, in goal line situations,
still going to throw the ball.
They're going to throw the ball. They've got those big receivers that are big targets.
Yeah, you're going to have Metcalf on the edges. You're going to have Dawson Knox across the middle some.
I mean, Southern Illinois, Texas Tech, those are not going to have guys that can physically match up with them. ULM will probably try. What they will do with AJ is try to confuse him with a lot of advanced physics, some quantum physics, some analytics that they will try to confuse him with at the line of scrimmage, but physically they won't be able to match him. So yeah, he'll put up some. I guess I'll buy. I'm a little cautious on those touchdowns, but I'll buy.
Buy or sell Scotty Phillips 800 yards on the season.
I'll sell
on 800.
Yeah.
Okay.
You.
It's less because I think they're going to give some carries to some other people. Wilkins obviously had 1,000. Try to think back though. Other than that, they've had a lot of years where guys haven't gotten to 800. I think. So
what was Jalen Walton's biggest year?
Hold on, I think I can find that fairly easily. Jalen Walton, Ole Miss. Stay with us, people.
Had a pretty nice career.
He did. Yeah, he was one that I was kind of curious about a little bit.
Really good kid.
I'm looking it up.
I like Jalen a lot.
Okay, I think it's loading. It should be loading in a second. Let's see.
I wonder what he's doing now.
I don't know where Jalen is. That's a good question. All right. Let's see. His last year was 2015. Am I right in that?
I think that's right.
In 2015, he led the team with 730 rushing yards.
Okay.
So close.
Close. Yeah, I mean, I'd sell on 800. That feels too big for me. Greg Little says I'm wrong.
We'll see. What did Greg Little say?
He says they're going to have an 800-yard rusher.
He said 800?
That's what he said. It was his number.
He used 800.
He did.
Why do you think he used 800? What do you think? Was it arbitrary or was there a reason behind that?
I don't know.
I did not
follow up and say, why 800? Now that I think about it, that would have been a really good question to ask. It was Meet the Rebels Day, not Meet the Rebels, Rebel Media Day, and I was trying to get to other people too.
I'm not doing a question on most overrated restaurants in town. I have no reason to make enemies right now. Let's see.
There's only one that comes to mind. I'm not going to name it, but it is definitely severely overrated.
Yeah, I've got one in my head. I don't know if we had the same one or not, but I do have one in my head.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do we really?
Yep.
Okay. That says something right there too, because I mean, from a amount of like the amount each of us go out and stuff is wildly different, and to have the same restaurant means that it's bad pretty much all the time. That's pretty much how that works.
Well,
yeah.
Based on, in comparison to the reputation.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm not saying it is the worst restaurant in town. That is not what we're talking about. Although, at times.
If you gave me a choice between going there or going to Chili's, I'd pick Chili's.
Would you really?
Yep.
Okay. You know, I always thought you kind of used Chili's as that, hey, it's always okay. But then you kind of like dog Chili's a little bit in the last week, month or so.
I don't think it's very good.
But it's still a six every time?
You know exactly what you're going to get when you go to
Chili's. So it's a consistency thing.
If you go to, if I say, hey, okay, I'm starving. Carson and I are on the road. We're out in rural nowhere, and there's a Chili's.
Yeah.
We'll get food. Probably not going to get poisoned.
You can get a burger. You can get a chicken sandwich. You can get that Cajun pasta that's edible. Yeah, it's all right.
It's going to be okay.
The chicken crispers.
Yeah. Now, if you order a steak and you get upset because the steak's not good, that's on you. You know what I mean?
At absolute most, maybe the fajitas. Maybe, and that's
you're getting into risky territory. But if you just want very average fajitas that you'll be able to put in a tortilla and get them down, and
be full and
dump sauce all over them and go, okay, we're going to make this work.
If you're expecting a culinary experience, you're going to be disappointed.
I mean, it's much better than Applebee's.
Yes. If you're stopping in and going, like, if you go to Chili's and you're starving, right, and there aren't many options, and you order the jalapeno burger and a Coors Light, it's going to be a jalapeno burger and a Coors Light. The fries will be okay. Dip them in some ketchup. You'll get through it. It'll be a decent meal, and you're going to pay $11.
More than a subscription to RebelGrove.com.
Yes. If you go there expecting a culinary experience, you're going to be let down. But the place that you and I are referring to has a reputation for giving you a culinary experience, and when you walk in, you do not get one.
No, you get everything from food that is lower quality to everything. Now, it's interesting. I don't have a lot of reasons why. I'd like to hear them, but such is life. Does anyone anticipate Tennessee having a numbers problem due to the blue shirt approach under Butch and the high number of recruits that they signed over the past years? Yes, but they will just cut the crap out of anyone that they do not see as helping them running through the power T on Saturdays.
Numbers always work themselves out.
Not in the most humane and ethical way in
nope.
the world.
No, no, no.
But they will work out.
They do. Will they have a numbers problem? No, they will not.
No, the results of the appeal are not in yet. They're not just keeping them quiet, but they'd probably like to announce those and be done, if yeah. I have a thought.
Believe me, there won't be a delay.
They also aren't expecting any relief, frankly. No. So it just...
They're braced for the worst.
Yeah, it's playing out the string at this point. So, yeah, anyway, that's where we are.
Do you think, let me ask this with a little mailbag. Uh-huh. Do you think when it's over, let's say there is no relief, do you think finally a few people who have probably kept some frustration pent up let it go?
Oh, there'll be a few people talk, sure. Yeah. There's a few people that I'll be curious to see if they talk. I'm interested, but
yeah,
we'll see. RebelGrove.com. Come hang out. Get on the message board. Talk. Communicate. Have some fun with us. Well, again, come to Funky's tomorrow night. Have some fun with us there. Appreciate a good crowd for this first one. Todd Wade. A lot of football experience over the years. Should have some good stories. Should be a fun time with him up on stage. Neil gets to wear headphones and be around people at the same time. So interesting dynamic there for him. He's going to do autographs and pictures starting at 5 o'clock, and then we're going to go live at 5:30. So, hang out, have a daiquiri, have a pizza, have a
pictures.
Yeah, pictures. Gonna get autographed photos. You know, if you bring in a receipt where you did sign up for RebelGrove.com, he probably would give you an autographed photo with it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd give you an autographed photo if you're desperate enough for an autographed photo. I cannot imagine why in God's name you would want such a thing, but sure.
Yeah, so appreciate you as always listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.